On Kuvav, the Maral's been dissecting the Ramban and the Rambam. And here, what we're going to do tonight, the Maral really gets to the pnimius of what he's been leading up to. What we're talking about, that the mitzvahs are gezeiros Hashem. It's a very big yisod in all of Torah mitzvahs, this parag. But the mitzvahs are not. The Ramban says that the mitzvah dealing with the question of shiloh hakan, that the mitzvah is to transform the human being, to make a Jewish person to someone who's kind, who's compassionate. Not because of the Rachmanis, like the Rambam said, the Rachmanis that the Rebbeinu Shlom has, but that the person should be a Baal Rachmim, and that all mitzvahs are for man. Which the Maral agrees to in principle, that the mitzvahs are for men. However, he doesn't agree with this. He doesn't agree with seeking to find a rationale for why did the Rebbeinu Shlom, why did Hashem command us this mitzvah, and he's going to talk about it more. So on page Kufav, Avol Midirvei Chachamim, the left column. Avol Midirvei Chachamim Nira She'ein Loimer Ki HaMitzvah Shenosna Hashem Yisborach B'Shvil HaMakabal Shehu Adam Rakhem Gzeiris Mitzad Hashem Yisborach. He says it's clear from Chazal, from the Gemara, that the mitzvahs are not, as the Ramban said, for the purpose, we're not given for the purpose of making man more this or more that, for changing his personality, but the mitzvahs are gzeiris, mitzad Hashem Yisborach. In other words, the mitzvahs come not from the Makabel, the mitzvahs come from the one who gave the Torah, the one who gave them to us, not from the one who's receiving them. Although, of course, they benefit us, and the Maral talks about it. But the mitzvahs were it's not that there was somebody who was poor, and because of that awakened a sense of pity in Hashem, and then Hashem told us that we should respond, right, in such a way with tzedakah. So the Maral explains, Rakhem Gzeiris mitzad Hashem Yisborach HaGoyzer al Amo Gzeiris Kama Melech HaGoyzer Gzeir al Amo, like a king who has made a decree upon his people. Avki ha'emes ki yimoshech mizeh. You see what the Maral says, even though it's true, ki yimoshech mizeh, that there will eventually come out from that, it will lead mitzad shu mekayim ha'gzeir, that if a Jew observes the Gzeir, that if a Jew lives according to Hashem's decrees, it will taka turn out ha'toyv ha'hatzlocha, which means the ultimate good, he's talking about Olam Haba, right? The world to come. The ultimate good after which there can't be anything even greater. That if a Jew, but it's not because of the rationale of the mitzvah, it's because he's being Mekayim, the Gzeir of the king, which we can talk about more in a few minutes. Mikol makom ein hascholos hagzeira. Hascholos hagzeira means one cannot say that what motivated Hashem to make the gzeira. Hascholos hagzeira here means the beginning of the decree, but it means the motivation. One cannot say that there was this motivation, that Hashem was motivated by what? Shenosna l'toiv el hamakabel. That what motivated Hashem to give this mitzvah is because Hashem wanted the person to benefit, to be rewarded. That's not what motivated Hashem to give the mitzvah. It says in Pasuk that Hashem gave us these mitzvahs l'toiv lanu, for our good, that it should be good for us. It says that Hashem gave us the mitzvahs that should be good for us. The Maral explains it's not that that's why he gave the mitzvahs, Because the Baruch Hashem wanted to be good to us. That's why he gave us the mitzvahs. Shein zekach. Page Kuv Zayin. V'akhu yizborach tziv aleinu kemelech ha'goyzer. Hashem commanded as a king who makes a gzeira that there's a purpose, there's an intent, that is something beyond our capacity to understand, that we can't comprehend. But the king will make a gzeira. And the gzeira, even the gzeira on every individual, it affects the entire Malchus. The whole kingdom is at stake. Each and every person in the Malchus, we just started page Kuv Zayin. Each and every person in the Malchus has a specific role that must be fulfilled. And if it's not going to be fulfilled, the entire Malchus is jeopardized. That's what we have to know. And that the one who gave us this mitzvah is good, and therefore only good can come from it. But it's not because he felt bad for me, and his compassion for this miserable creature, me or the guy next door, that he gave a mitzvah. No, the Baruch Shalom is a melech who made a gzeirah. Raku yisbrach tziva lenu kemelech ha-goyzerak sh'ha-gzeirah ha-zois hi l'toiv lanu l'chayaseinu kayyayim ha-zeh in the kaima mitzvahs. In other words, it's true, the result of keeping the gzeirahs, just like the result, in other words, in a classroom, the teacher has a certain, the teacher's motivation for keeping the class quiet has nothing to do with the child's motivation for remaining in the class. The child being in the class is motivated by fear of parents. The child might be motivated by hope for reward. The child might be motivated because he has his best friend that can goof around or something. But he has a different motivation. The teacher's motivation is that it should be orderly, that he should be able to teach. The fact that even though the kid has a vastly different motivation than the teacher, the fact that if he does abide by the teacher's guidelines, then it will be l'tayv lo. The result of that will be good for him. The result will be good, regardless of the differences in the motivations. The result will be good because he'll be duly rewarded. Or the result will be, even though he might not notice that anything good has happened to him, but ultimately, if he's educated, and somewhere down the road, he could be a mensch, right? Even though at the time he's fighting, he's struggling, and he's not motivated. But the tov here is the teacher's intent in keeping the classroom quiet and promising some reward, let's say, was not for the sake of her immediate intention was to keep the class quiet so she could give the material over, right? Not that I should be able to give the reward. The reward is a hechatimsa, then should be quiet. But that's not the tachlis to give the reward. That's not the tachlis of keeping the class quiet so that the kid should be rewarded. It's so that the kid should be educated. The kid might not even think that's a reward at all. But that's the mitzvah. So Samuel says, so if we are mekayim the mitzvahs, he says, in the kaim mitzvahs, then certainly that will be l'toiv lanu. But that's not why Hashem gave the mitzvah. So we learned, beginning of the last parak, that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be mezakeh the Jewish people. Therefore, he gave us many, many Torah mitzvahs. Perusho, ki b'shvil sheyesh lam habei gzeiros, b'shvil kach yesh habei zchus. The Maral says the meaning of that is that Hakadosh Baruch Hu, by giving us many mitzvahs, it's not that the motivation of Hashem kivyocha was that it should be good for us. That's not that we should have hana, that we should enjoy. That's not what it means lezakis, that we should enjoy. But Maral is explaining that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us many gzeiros, many decrees to keep, not because this is going to make me into a nicer person because I'm sending the mother bird away. That's how it's going to be mezakim me. Why is it a schus for me? Because it's going to make me into a nicer person. It's going to make me feel better. It's going to make me a better person. That's not the schus that the Chazal are talking about. The schus is one schus. You are obeying the gzeirah of the king. And only good can come from that. Only good will come from that. And all levels good will come from it. Ben on the chaveiro, and certainly ben on the makom. Good will come from the fact that a person is observing the gzeirah, the decrees of the king. In the footnote 72, look at footnote 72. This is Perush. Davke mishum sheha mitzvahs hein begeder gzeiros. Davke because the mitzvahs are gzeiros. Lekach, he says, therefore, shapir amin and rotzok kadosh baruch hu lezakis Yisrael. Lefichach hivu lehem ter mitzvahs, that Hashem gave us many mitzvahs. To be mezakas. She'il mali sheha mitzvahs hayu gzeiros. So now he's going back to what we learned in the last parak. That if the mitzvahs would not be gzeiros, if they wouldn't be decrees, then you can't say the great amount of mitzvahs would be a schus for us. Why? Kidova zeh neged ha-seichel, the Maharal writes. This is against the seichel. Shahay lolamayit b'mitzvahs, as we learned in the last parak. Kadesh lo yiyat tzarech lishmaha b'mitzvahs. Stop, a person would say, you know what? I'd rather not have so many mitzvahs. I can't handle so many mitzvahs. It's hard for me. I'll have less schus, and I'll do less mitzvahs, and I'll have less schus. So, but I don't want, not only that, but there's such a great possibility of failing, I'd rather not have that. That's what we learned before. That's the point. The point is, you don't have a choice. I mean, you have Bechir Chavshis, but these are gzeirus. Just like you have free choice to ignore the king in any kingdom that you're there, but you have the choice to do that. You don't have to do what the king says, but it's lunacy if you don't. So the mitzvahs, if it will be a question of that it's good for me, so I could say, you know what? I don't have to have so much good. I can live without so much good. So someone says, you know, the Baruch Hu wants to give you a mitzvah of tzitzis, it's mezake you. It's a schus to have a mitzvah of tzitzis. So I said, Hamaychel. If you're telling me, in other words, because what's happening when you look at the mitzvahs in such a way that schus just means that it's good for you, either in this world or the next world, so I was going to talk about it more in a second. So then the mitzvah is no longer a gzeir mitzad and nosin. That's no longer from the perspective of the one who's giving the mitzvah. Then the mitzvah is now in the territory of the one who is receiving the mitzvah. And the person who's receiving the mitzvah could say, you know what? I don't have to have so many schuyos. I don't need that schus. I don't feel that I want that schus, so I'm not going to put on tzitzis. And as we were talking about the last few weeks, but this one I like. Right? This I like, this I don't like, this I like. Because if it's a question of what's good for me, what's better for me, and that's how I look at a life of Torah mitzvahs, which is how all secular liberal Jews look at Yiddishkeit. And unfortunately, as we were talking about a little bit last week, it's crept into our world of Torah as well. It's not, it's infiltrating into it. It's not being allowed happily into it. But you find such things that it can't be that God wanted me to feel uncomfortable. And I don't like this thing that it's in the Siddur, so I think I'm going to remove it because it makes me uncomfortable. I don't like this mitzvah, it makes me uncomfortable. But the beginning, the root of that way of thinking is the misinterpretation of Rosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Akshel, if you're a Hiblam Ter Mitzvahs. Hiblam Ter Mitzvahs, Hashem gave us many mitzvahs. I can say, I don't want so many mitzvahs, I have less chusim. And not only that, I can say, you know what, it's not a chus for me because I have problems with Shabbos, with Muktzah. Muktzah is a problem. So it's not a chus. I don't need all these drabonins. It's not a schus for me. Because I'm messing it up. So we'll work out a deal. I'm moichel on the reward, on all that good that it will bring to me. Because you're only doing it for me. It's only for me. So if you're only doing it for me, it's like every parent that tells a kid, you know, like what's every kid thinking when the parent says, I'm, to the kid that you have to get up every day. And the kid says, I don't want. The parent says, this, it's for you. The kid says, well, it doesn't happen at all. What he means for me, if you love me, let me stay in bed. So it's for me. So the parent says, yes, this is, you think that I would love for you to stay in bed, but I want to be mezaka you with this. So the kids say, you know what, do me a favor, I'll be Michael on the Michael's on. I'll stay in bed and I'm Michael on whatever the schus was, but I don't know, but the kid doesn't know anyway what the schus is, but I'm Michael on the schus, right? This perception is very, very dangerous. So the fact that it was given as a gzeira, it's not, I gave you this, it's for you, sweetie pie, it's for you. The perception is, it's a gzeira. It's a decree of the king. And any good that's going to come is a side benefit that comes from the fact that you are observing the commandment of the king.
According to my analogy, what is Bishvili Nivra Olam mean?
That's a responsibility. And that's the context in which Chazal say it over there. It's a responsibility. It's a responsibility. I don't want to go through it right now. But it's a good point. But it's going to be mele, it's going to come out. You'll see. So there certainly is. Now there is a schus. Because all we know is the following. That the Baruch Hu gave us these 613 gzeiros. And then drabans. These are the decrees. That's for sure a schus. Because I don't have a choice. I don't have a choice not to keep them. It's a gzeira, I have to do it. It's a gzeira. And I have to do it, and the result of doing it, there'll be good results. But it's not up to me. It's a gzeira. V'soiv derechayim kosev gam ein ha'perish klal k'moyish achosh v'heim k'Hashem is baruch rotzal lasas toivah liYisrael. The Maral says, don't think that Hashem gave us mitzvahs because He wanted to do a toivah, a favor for the Jewish people. V'fichach hirblam terem mitzvahs im ha'perish k'moyish heim v'farishim. If it's like they say, Yaakshalach, he's going to talk about this in the text upstairs also. He's going to talk about it in a minute. But here he brings out a certain point. Because if this was true, then Yaakshalach Masha Amr Mesech is Rosh Hashanah. It says in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, it says Sugi in all of Shas. Hamoyder Hanomi Chaveroi. If somebody says, Reuven says, I'm not going to derive any benefit from Shimon. Right? He's Moyder Hanor. Reuven says, I'm not going to have any Hanor from Shimon. No, I'm not deriving any benefit from Shimon. Mutal Eskerlat Kia Shal Mitzvah. He's still allowed to hear from him the shofar blowing. Even though he said, I'm not going to benefit or derive, either way, I'm not going to benefit this guy, or the opposite, I'm not going to derive any benefit, right? So there's still allowed to be a tekiah shofar for him. Why? When Farish, the Gemara explains at Tom, the mitzvahs lav lahenis nitnu. Because mitzvahs were not given for your pleasure. In other words, the nusach of this person, he says that I am moider, I'm not going to cause, I am taking upon myself, I will not cause any pleasure for you. He can still blow on the shofar. Why? Because the Gemara says, he said he's not going to derive pleasure, or the other way, I'm not going to give any. Why? So how could he hear the shofar? So it's a wonderful thing. You get a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, no, mitzvah is lav lahen, isn't it? Mitzvah is not a question of personal pleasure.
I mean, isn't there an aspect that Hashem gave us the mitzvah so He can bestow good on it upon us?
Oh yeah, yeah. He's going to, sure. We'll talk about it more. So he says, there's no, but that's. He gave us the mitzvahs, and as a result of keeping the mitzvahs, we're zoichet to all that's good. But that's not why He gave us the mitzvahs. No. But we'll see more. He says, "Mefarish hatam the mitzvahs lav lahen is nitnu. The mitzvahs are not given for our pleasure. The mashmi zeh ki mitzvahs hem la'ol ha'adam. The Maral says mitzvahs are a burden upon man. They're difficult. Lefishem gzeirus hamelech. The decrees of the king. Vim came. Lom armer kan sha mitzvahs heim la adam l'tevosu l'hanoso. So the Maral says, why do you have these mefarshim who are saying that mitzvahs were given for our pleasure, or for the purpose of making us into nicer people and so on? Uchvar pirashnu dar v'zeh she'ena perish ki b'shvil tevus Yisrael osas. That's not for that Hashem was doing as a teva. She'rotzel la'heitiv lahem. She'im kain ha'yu oimrim. Because then, if that were the case, then every Jew could say, "Lo hein v'lo yischar." I'm not into the mitzvahs. I'm not interested in the reward. Like we said before, I don't want to do the mitzvahs. I'm marking on the reward. V'chas v'chalil lo imakah. God forbid, you can't say that. Avolat peirish Hashem is baruch rotzal lezakis Yisrael bal korcham. That's what it means. Yeah, the Ben Shalom. So the version is, he wants good for us. Zichu wants good for us. Of course, he wants good for us. But not on my terms. Not what I think is good. Not how I perceive good. The Baruch Hu, and this is like a parent, that Ratzel Zakis Yisrael Bal Korcham. Not that I feel good about this mitzvah, or that I feel that I'm becoming nicer or I'm benefiting. No. Mibnei Shehu Yisbarach Tzadik, the Baruch Shalom is a Tzadik, Ratzel Shehi Ha'odam Zakaim Ha'oi. So the Baruch Shalom wants that every Jew should be worthy, should be refined. He should have much schus. Therefore, he decreed upon us. He forced us to be good. And kids are always screaming and kicking that they don't want that. The parents are forcing the children to be good. The Rebbe Shalom here is concerned with a Jew being good, not feeling good. That's something that that doesn't mean you can't feel good about being a Jew. God forbid. Hopefully you can. But that's not why mitzvahs were given, to make you feel good. Mitzvahs are given to make you be good. That you should be in mitzvahs good. And only the Baruch Hu shall know how every one of these mitzvahs, even the ones that don't make any sense, what's the difference if I eat this or I eat that? What's the difference if I tie my shoelace on Shabbos? I don't tie my shoelace. I don't get it. How does that make me, you know, I don't feel any better. I don't feel it is doing anything for me. So the Baruch Hu shall says that's not your cheshbon, how you feel. Yeah, how you feel? So, you know, go to a mikveh, say some tehillim, whatever. How you feel? That's not the point. The point is the schus that the Maral says. The schus that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave to the Jewish people is not their enjoyment of being of mitzvahs. It's not how they feel about mitzvahs. Because if that were the case, they could say, I'm Baruchel, I don't need to feel so good. That's not it. Because Baruch was Goizek Zeris to make us good. To make us, to put us into a matzav that this is the way, this, if we observe these Gzeris, then it's the Toiv Lon. But Be'emes, being good. Not that I feel, makes me feel good, makes me, but being good. This is something that modern society is not interested in, Bechlal. This is not at all what's happening now in the world, what people are looking for now. Everything now is to feel good. To feel good about yourself, to feel good about that, to feel, not, the point is, not that there is a standard of being good. There's no standard of being good. My idea of being good is to do, is this. My idea of being good is that. The king, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, goes to these desires, and therefore he says, Ahir v'lan Torah mitzvahs. L'kach, iyev shalayim aleihen v'lay schar. Therefore you can't say, I don't want to do the mitzvahs, and I don't need the reward. You can't say that. Shashem is Baruch Reitzah, Shiyi is HaKoyin HaKoyin, because Hashem wants us to be good and refined and perfect, even against our will. Because these acts, by virtue of us observing the will of the king, these acts themselves are going, not because there's a reason, because it's nice, and if you have compassion on the bird, you'll have compassion on people. That's not the point. The point is that if you do this act of Shiloh HaKan, that itself, the act itself, the physical act, is one which changes, which refines, which uplifts, which is L'toiv Lanu. But Bal Korchem. Le'omer Ratzak Kadosh Baruch Hu Lehetiv LiYisrael. Chazal never said that Hashem wanted to give us good. That's not, that He gave us the mission that we should be good. That it should be good for us. The Ficha Chiblam Tarmis doesn't say that. Ki Hayezem Mashma Shahaya Oysa B'Shvil Toiv V'Sisrael, because it would sound like it means that it was done for the Toiv of Yisrael, the good of Yisrael. Shein Devakach, Rak Omer Ratzak Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezak Yisrael, Klemesh Yuzakoy B'Masim. He wanted us to be pure and refined. Ki Hu Yisbrach Tzadik, because Hashem is a tzadik, v'chofetz v'zakoyim v'tzadikim. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is near, He's close to, and He desires those who are zakoyim, those who resemble Him. And He explains this. V'uvelel, v'yesh b'zeh ha'tomam yuchedis. There's a special way to understand this. Shezeh loshon ha'pachid Yitzchak, where Putin wrote, Rosh Hashanah Mayim Yud Aleph. Shem Melucha. You know, there's a difference in Hebrew between, we say Kila Hashem Hamlucha Umayshal Bagoyim. So there's a difference between Melucha and Memshala. When it comes to the Jewish people, Hashem is Molech. When it comes, he is a king. When it comes to the Goyim, when it comes to the nations of the world, he's Moishal Bagoyim. Melucha means, as the Vilna Gaon explains and others, Melucha means a kingdom that is, and he says here, Shem Melucha lo yunach ela al hadayma. Al hadayma means that when Melucha means when something is not that it's accepted by me, but that it fits, it befits me, it becomes me. It's something which is designed, and it's something which, it's something which is attuned to who I am. Hashem is Hashem Hamlucha with the Jewish people. The more that a Jewish person resembles Hashem, the more a part he is of Hashem's Malchus. The more one resembles Hashem, the more he has a connection to the Malchus. But Hashem's desire, kivyachol, I don't mean like a human desire, to rule, to be king over the Jewish people. It's not that there is a king who has no shaychus to his subjects and simply hits them with something that is totally, totally out of whack with who they are. But instead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the king, Shem Melucha lo yunach ela ladoyme. That's what it means, Melucha, on the one who is resembling, who's similar, Shekein Arye Nikra Melech HaChayis, like the king, the lion. The lion is the king of the jungle, of the beasts. And they should gam hu chayim, because the lion is also a behemoth. A lion is also a chayim. It's also a beast. So therefore, since the lion is in the same gedder, the lion is in the same, is of the type, of the nature, just a superior form of that type, Therefore, there could be a melucha, and the melucha, the kingdom of the lion, is something which the other lions can appreciate, can observe, can respect, can live with, and grow with. Because Sof Kol Sof, the lion, is one of them. He's greater, he's stronger, he's more powerful, but he's one of them, of the other animals. But if you have a person, and you walk into his house, and he has parakeets and dogs and cats and rabbits, right? And you walk in and he says, and you say to him, Shalom Aleichem, he says, you should say to me, Shalom Aleichem, Your Majesty. And you say, why? You say, I rule over this kingdom. And he shows you his parakeets and his cats and his birds. It's crazy. That's a malchus. What sort of malchus is that? What kind of malchus? Like the kid in the bathtub that rules over his little plastic garden? That's a malchus? What kind of malchus is that? It's bechlal not daimon. There's no dimyon. When there's no dimyon, that's why when it comes to the nations of the world, umoyshal bagoyim, there, that's a memshala. Memshala is, well, I don't understand. I don't have anything in common, and therefore you have to be smacked and hit and patched because there's resistance. Because there's no similarity, there's no resemblance. But malchus, that's what Rav Huttner is explaining. He says, that's why the guy that has the house with the parakeet and everything, that's why the parakeet's in a cage. And that's why the other things have restrictions of where they can go. In other words, he's not ruling over them. They don't understand him. They don't respect him and abide by his laws. He has to physically trap them and take hold of them. Because that's how every memshala works. Every memshala. In Eretz Yisrael, they call it a memshala. It's a memshala. And it's true. Everybody hates the government over there. Every Jew you meet hates the government. Or a major part of it. Right? That's a memshala. That means I don't want what I have. I have no shaykhus to me. Just understand me. What's ever shaykhus to me? So when a person can't be a king over animals, because never the twain shall meet. They have no shaykhus. But a person can rule over animals, but it's by force. A human being is not a balchai. He's not an animal. Midas hamalchus deireshes davke es haishteichus l'sug echad. Malchus demands and requires shaychus, demands a connection, a kesher. Lefichach, therefore, malchus yisbarach al Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shlomo's malchus over the Jewish people. Mechayeves sheyiyu Yisrael tzaddikim zakoim. Ultimately, to see the whole Torah of Baal Shem Tov comes from this. That the ultimate tachlis in a mitzvah, the ultimate tachlis in learning Torah is what? Dveikus b'Hashem. Is to be dovek, to be attached to Hashem. Dveikus b'Hashem. The issue by the Talmidei Baal Shem was never how good is it, how will it make me feel. The issue is that when I do this, I'm by virtue of the fact that I'm doing this, I'm going to be attached to the one who is Geyser, to the king. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyochol desires closeness with each and every Jew, the only way that one can be close to another is when they resemble each other. So when it says in the Zohar Kodesh that Shechinta lo shayah ba'asar pagim, that the Shechin doesn't go into a place that's blemished, what does it mean? It means the same way that a human being doesn't rule over animals. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a malchus with human beings who act like animals. What kind of malchus is that? The more one resembles HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that could be a memshala. And we had to, and the Jewish people have gotten plenty of patches when we haven't behaved. We've been disciplined and beaten. But the tachlis of malchus Hashem is that Hashem gave us these mitzvahs and through the Chacham, all the drabbanim, all of our customs. And that every single mitzvah, every single din drabon, every single custom forces us to resemble the Creator. So the issue is not how you feel. The issue is who are you? And each mitzvah and minhag and din forces a Jew to resemble the Creator of the world. Forces him.
That's what it means, crowning Hashem King of Rosh Hashanah?
That's why Rosh Hashanah is the coronation, is the Akhtar. And Bechlal, because why? Because the whole Indian of tshuva. Tshuva means returning to the makor, returning to the source of who I am, returning to myself. And who am I? I'm a chelek elokom yimal mamish. I'm a portion of God. I am a shtik elokuz, a piece of godliness. That's what I am. So, to the extent that we resemble HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we're attached to Him. As it is with all human relationships. When they share something in common, the more they share in common, the more of a devekas they can be. Not like we mentioned a few weeks ago, not like they say that opposites attract. That's not a Jewish concept. Opposites attract. Opposites end up in court together. they don't attract. There's an attraction, but that's fascination. That's because they're fascinated. Opposites are fascinated with each other. Many people get married like that. That's not love. That's not a hava. Because a hava means hevedoy meloy. It means when there's a dveikas that comes as a result of sharing, of resembling, of being alike, with the appreciable differences that of course exist between people and that they can learn from each other. but it's true that where there are opposites, there's more of a tanug. As I mentioned once in the Tzemach Tzedek, when a person is very hot and they have something cold, it's gishmak. And you're very cold, you have something hot, it's gishmak. So there are people who are very cold and they have a gishmak from someone that has a warmer, more passionate nature, and vice versa. But that doesn't make for a marriage. That doesn't make for a marriage, but it makes for a very strong, it has a very strong, dramatic, momentary effect on a person. But that's not aha, but that's not called love. That's not called love. All the teenagers that are in love, it's bechlal not, or the overgrown teenagers that are in love. This is all stam taiva. So the Baruch Shalom forced us with these gzeirs to resemble him. Yehu Yisbar Tzadik v'chovitz b'zakorim v'tzadik. Hashem is a tzadik, and He wants those who He connects to those who resemble Him. Kivyochol. L'kach mashen Yisbar v'derechaim sh'am mitzvahs bo b'chtei l'chayev es Yisrael she'yu tzadikim. And that's how Hashem gave us the Torah. He held them out over our heads. You're going to be tzaddik. That's the schus. The schus is not whether you enjoy it, how you feel about it, and whether you're going to get this world, olam haba. That's not the point. That's not the point. The point is that you are going to be a subject in this malchus. You're going to be part of Hashem's malchus. Umashnis barakan sha mitzvahs bo mitzad hamlochus hakadosh baruch hu havishnei tzdodim shel matbea achas mitzad dina de malchus nagupa. This is all one and the same. Back upstairs after 72. So he says, V'dovez ha-muska me-gemar b'kam me-kaymes. So now he mentions the Gemara then Rosh Hashanah. The what? Hu'ikas shayrish galo b'gemar. This is a very important thing in all of Shas. All of Nivnu kam halachas. And many halachas come from this. Sha'am rubim kaymes harbi. Mitzvahs ha-tara lav lehen. It's not what we just saw in the footnote of the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. The mitzvahs were not given for a person's personal pleasure. The mitzvahs weren't given for your pleasure. Right, the whole thing of what this, that the tzitzis doesn't do it for me, that we spoke about last week. This aveira does it for me, right? So what? That's not the point of mitzvahs. What it does for you. Mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu, ela b'shvil gzeiros nitnu. Lefichach amru. Therefore, the morale brings what we just saw in the footnote. Hamayder hanoam and hashayfer mutlus kayabo. If somebody says, I'm not going to have any. Pleasure or use out of a shayfer. I don't have any use for a shayfer. So he's allowed to still use it for the mitzvah. What do you mean? He said, I don't want to have any benefit from the shayfer. I don't want to enjoy. I never in my life can enjoy a shayfer. So he's still allowed to blow the shayfer, be out to the mitzvah of the kish shayfer. Why? Of hearing the true shayfer. Why? Because mitzvah Allah has said no. Or as we said before, he's made enough from another person not to hear the kish shayfer. It's the mal of a lamayrit. That's not a hanor. Mitzvahs is not a hanor.
How does this work out with plikulim min haTorah? Say like ain adam lo
mogem shli bar chofetz.
Like we talk about, you know, studying pnimis haTorah, it's a drive.
It's fine. It's fine. Why?
You know what they have to know, and that's it. That's the dveikus. The extra, the pnimis haTorah is already the. It's more the gishmak. It's more the getting something out of it. I guess it depends who you are.
Okay, the if you look at the Egle Tal's Hakdama, right? So you see that the Sachet Shavu It's a tnai in Talmud Torah. It's not pshat. The point is, of course, when a person learns Pnimius HaTorah, or if a person learns a good Rebbe Akiva Eiger, right? I don't mean a good Rebbe Akiva Eiger. I didn't mean it, a good Rebbe Akiva Eiger. Sounds crazy. But if a person learns a sugi, learns a Gemara, Rashi Taisvis, that the Dveikis, the Baruch Shalom is Oiz V'chedva B'mkoyma, is Kulay Or, Kulay Simcha, Kulay Ahava. There's no greater way to resemble the Bayri Kalalam than a Jew being besimcha and a Jew having a gishmak. And when a Jew is learning Pnimius HaTorah, then he's mizdabik to the Bayri in the most powerful way. Because not only am I holding on to the outer garments of the king, but a mamish connecting to his heart and to his mind. Can there be any way to resemble Hashem more than learning a piece of the Zohar Kodesh? Talmud Torah, we're not getting to the whole sugya of Talmud and Maisa, you know, the whole Indian. That's not for now. It's a big subject in Torah. But that when a person learns in depth, and when he learns b'simcha, then his mind is attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Tanya says, but in a way that's nifla, in a remarkable, remarkable way, and his mind is attached and resembling. Because how do you resemble if you think alike?
Right,
if you think alike,
right? Well, people who are who are lacking that aspect are really being the kind of what Kamal is talking about here. Just doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and being the kind of tzivu, and that's it.
You shouldn't make a mistake to think that the morale was not 100% in favor of feeling the sense of dveikus and of his slavus and his shroimus.
I'm just saying, on that minimal level, of course, they're being mekayim
in a chanami.
And that's the chora, the gzeira is the highest. I mean, on a certain level, that's the highest level.
If
you do it because of the gzeira. Yes.
It doesn't mean that I can't enjoy. In other words, what he's saying is that my reason for learning this is because it's a gzeiras hamelach. That's why you could tell the difference right away when you have two people that are learning, right? So you'll have one person, so he's learning it, and then it comes to a little bit. And it was a very interesting little gemara, and he saw a little nice thing in a sefer. And he was getting a gishmak from it. He figures he could say it over to someone, and all of a sudden, whoa. Something happened over here in the Gemara. Got complicated. So if he could, he would tear the page out. Tear the page out. Right? This is a bad Gemara. And then he goes and he sees another one. That's a good Gemara. Bad Gemara, good Gemara. Same way learning like with mitzvahs. But the Talmud, an emes dekelamden, a Talmud Chacham, he understands that it's a gzeiras hamelech to plow through shas and poskim. Ein adam loymed el b'mokam sheli by chafetz is we understand that is still a preliminary madrega. It's not the tachlis. The tachlis is that a human being's chafetz b'chol teres Hashem, because these are words that are coming from the Baruch Shalom. There's no nafkamin whether he's telling me something in kachrim, he's telling me something in the zikin or moed. The ikar is that the Baruch Shalom is talking to me right now. That the Baruch Shalom is talking to me. Right? And it would be the same thing with tefillah. Whether I'm saying Vayevarach David, or whether I'm saying Baruch Shamar Ashrei, that the fact is I'm communicating with the Rebbeinu Shalom. Nevertheless, it's true that because the neshama has, each neshama, in terms of the shorish of who that person is, has a deeper connection perhaps to a certain chelik of Torah. So the Chachamim were concerned and said, La'olam yilmad adam b'makom sheli by chafetz, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hinting to you through that chafetz. Why does a person have a certain more powerful chafetz in one piece of Gemara over another, or one type of, or one mitzvah over the other? It's because in this way he can resemble Hashem more than any other way, because his neshama is tied up very much in the shayrish to that inyan. So loyalum yilmot adam makom sheli by chafetz. Ultimately, the highest madrega is that a person should be chafetz b'chol Torah kula. But initially, Hashem gives us a sign. Hashem gives us a sign that here in this inyan, you could become mamish a gadol b'Yisrael in this inyan, because when I feel that, when I'm aware of that, that's going to draw me deeper into that inyan, and therefore it's not so much that the chafetz is a tachlis, but the chafetz is a simen that in this area my neshama has its roots, and therefore my toll booth into this parish of resembling Hashem is going to take place through this type of learning.
So once you know everything else, then you have an expertise almost.
Yeah.
That minor means.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Is it correct to say that according to the morale, that someone else gets more schar on the bigot side because he does mitzvahs which he does not like to do?
So we know lefum sara agra.
Because it's a gazer, he does it. He doesn't enjoy it. And he does those mitzvahs, he takes more schar.
There definitely is something to be said for that. Because a mitzvah was that doesn't mean, but there's a reason why. You see, it's like a catch-22. On the one hand, you're right. So when a person, and I spoke about this many times in shul, I speak about this a great deal over the years, that the avoda of the Baal Tshuva in that respect has a certain maila, and I'm going to talk about this on Shabbos too, Mr. Shem, that the avoda of the Baal Tshuva has a certain maila because it's a constant struggle to repress and to force himself to behave in a certain way that he's not used to. Whereas the tzaddik doesn't have to have that struggle. So there is a mila, and we're going to talk about this much more. There definitely is a mila, there's an advantage to the avoda of the Baal Tshuva because he's not only... See, the tzaddik is pushing darkness away, but the Baal Tshuva is somehow struggling with the darkness. The tzaddik doesn't have that struggle. So there's truth to that, that when a person would rather not do the mitzvah, and he does it because of Kabbalah's all, when a person does Kabbalah's, when he does something mitach Kabbalah's all, and with Nesiris Nefesh, then it mamash touches upon, it reaches to the etzim of who the person, it reaches the essence of his being. It reaches into the deepest part of who he is. So how could that be even deeper than when I enjoy something? Because whenever you enjoy something, you're not quite sure how much of you is in it and how much of God is in it. I enjoy something, so you'll have chassidim that they'll enjoy if I bring it in a tishnik, it's for 5 hours. But when it might come to something else, when it comes to a different mitzvah, so it's not kishmak. Then you're not serving God, you're just serving yourself through God. You're just serving yourself. But when I don't want to do something, and it's hard for me, and I do it, it's because I'm a servant. And there's a mila to that. However, over time, as one becomes closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu and becomes more refined, then what? Then he realizes and he understands that this taka, this mitzvah, is the most pleasurable, is the most wonderful, the most enjoyable thing. But that's not why I do it. I do it because I'm an avid. I'm a servant of Hashem. I'm a servant of Hashem. And the tzaddikim struggled with this. Because the tzaddikim, there were tzaddikim that was so completely taken up by Yiddishkeit, that and Torah mitzvahs, that in certain ways they envied other people who had to fight more. It's always like that. The grass is greener on the other side, I think they say, right? So the Baal Tshuva look at the tzaddikim with envy, and the tzaddikim look at the Baal Tshuva with envy, and it's always been that way. The Baal Tshuva would love to have the steadiness and the clarity and the straight path of the tzaddik, and the tzaddik would love some turbulence that he could overcome. That's why the whole thing of Yitzchak Avinu, you know, it's a big Indian. But Yitzchak Avinu was 37 years old by the Akedah. You know, he wasn't a child. You look at the Ibn Ezra says that if you say up shot, it looks like he's maybe 12 or 13, but really he was 37 years old, Yitzchak, when he was put up. He was 37 years old. Because the avoda of Yitzchak is to ask to be tied down to the Akedah, to want to be tied down. Because for Yitzchak, it wasn't as difficult as it was for his father to become a tzaddik. His father really had an uphill battle. Avraham Avinu came from a background where it was complete idolatry. So for Avraham Avinu to become Avraham Avinu, it was a constant war, it was a constant struggle, it was an uphill battle all the way. Yitzchak Avinu popped into the world as a tzaddik. He came to the world as a tzaddik. When he was born, all the malachim were laughing with delight when Yitzchak Avinu was born. So what's a man like Yitzchak supposed to do? That's a big question that tzaddikim struggle with. Right? When we envy that question. But Yitzchak Avinu had to lift himself to a place of avoda where, even though it's true that his avoda, his level was so great that really inside of himself he knew that he had no choice, but he wished that he could have a choice, and he wanted, and that it was to initiate his being tied down to the Mizbech, to the altar, as we see from Chazal, that Yitzchak Avinu wanted to be, and he asked to be done. He said, make it tighter, right? That's because the tzaddik is seeking some of that avoda. We don't know if there's tzaddik in these days, and what does that mean? B'chlat HaMesach HaMadrega. But Rav Hundler once spoke about this in Pachi Yitzchak. He says that this is a very ironic thing. The ironic thing is that there are two things that are taking place within each and every one of us all the time. One is the desire to eliminate the Yetzirah. Everybody wants to get rid of the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is making us crazy. So there's this desire to eliminate the Yetzirah, but then there's another awareness deeper inside of me that realizes that if I eliminate the Yetzirah, then my life becomes meaningless. So we're in this crazy cycle where I don't want to have the Yetzirah because I want to be a good boy. But on the other hand, that if there is no Yetzirah, then what meaning does goodness have anyway? What point is there in goodness? One can only be really good if he has the possibility of being really bad. If I can't really be bad, then what meaning does my goodness have? And Chazal point out that the pasuk of Yigiyahu Mayom Shein Behem Chayfetz, which says in Kehelas, there'll be days without desire. So the days of Mashiach are described in such a way that and therefore the tzaddikim spoke about this. What do you think the Vilna Gaon meant before he died when he held up his talis katan and he was crying that he's not going to have a mitzvah tzitzis in the world to come, to be makamei mitzvah tzitzis? So they're thinking, Vilna Gaon, you're going to the place of reward. You're going to the place of the ultimate schar, that all your life, every single second of your life was to bring you to this. And the Vilna Gaon is still trying to hold on to this world. Why would the Vilna Gaon try to hold on to this world? Because this world is the place where a person can truly prove his love for the king and his subservience and his devotion to the king, which in a certain way the tzaddik has a hard time letting go. I mentioned once in shul a few years ago that I won't go over the whole medrash, but that it says when the Jews are going to return to Eretz Yisrael, when Mashiach comes, we're going to go through a certain place, and we're going to go up to a certain mountain. And it's brought down from the tzaddikim that as we're coming into Eretz Yisrael, so we're going to take one last look at Golus. But it's going to be a look that's filled with a longing. Talk about the grass on the other side. For thousands of years, every single drush ends, the gula shleim v'amitis v'hem yomenu, amen. So finally it's going to happen. Mitzvah should be soon. So finally it's going to happen, and we're all going back to Eretz Yisrael. We're all going to walk back to Eretz Yisrael. And then we're going to stop off at this mountain, and we're going to take a look back and say, oh, he's so good in those days. Remember how good it was? The Churban, the Crusades. It wasn't wonderful. Holocaust. It was so good. So it sounds like, what are you, out of your minds? For thousands of years, all you're saying is the Gula Hashleima. The Gula, Mashiach, Gula, and then when it'll come to Mashiach, we're going to give a look, and we're going to with a look of nostalgia. What's that look? What's that last look? The last thing when we leave Chutz La'aretz to enter into Eretz Yisrael. What's that look? That's a look of awareness that never again. And it's crazy. I don't mean crazy in a bad way. It's amazing that never again will we have the opportunity to serve you against all odds. To remain faithful when the whole world is trying to seduce me. Because now it's a chachma. Chaya madregas, bigger madregas, fine. Therefore, there is this odd thing inside of a Jewish person that understands that on the one hand, I wish I didn't have a Yetzirah, but on the other hand, without a Yetzirah, there's no meaning. For the tzaddik is, therefore the neshama itself, as the Ramchal says, is waiting with longing to return to the body. After the person dies, the neshama is chalishing to come back to the body. So you think, you're finally rid of that whole business. So you're not happy now. So the Ramchal says, no, the neshama is waiting to come back to the guf. Because at least there the neshama in the guf has responsibilities.
her when the Shem was here, once the, I mean, I think here the Shem wants to run back, isn't that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's crazy. It's crazy. But that's the Metzius that we're in. And from here, the neshama is chalashing to leave the body, right? Here the neshama is chalashing to return to the Creator as a tiny right, like the candle flickering and the whole business here. And then when you get there, then the same thing, we get then that's the Olam HaNeshamas, and the neshama looks back at the Olam HaGuf and says, oh, you can imagine that one neshama talks to another neshama and says, you know, the good old days back down there in that world. What are you talking about? The good old days. When we were there, all we were screaming is we want to be to be free of this whole business. But this is the dichotomy. This is the dichotomy. This is the metzias of a human being. The chayas of a shayv, running and returning.
Does that mean there's never peace?
Sadiqim elam manucha. No. No. It depends how we define peace. There'll be peace, yes. When you say peace, and I hear the word peace, according to our definitions of peace, that will be. In other words, you're not going to have a cell phone or anything like that. You're not going to have people bugging you, and you're not going to have to go to work, and you'll be able to. No, that's in terms of shalom or menucha. The way that we need right now today menucha, that will have. But if you think that the Chofetz Chaim had menucha, even when he was sitting, the Chofetz Chaim was on fire. The Chofetz Chaim was running and returning every single minute, because that's so menucha. There will be menucha, there will be rest, and there will be peace. But that rest and that peace is not what the hasaga in the world. The hasaga of the world is that, you know, that I don't have to work and I'm able to take it easy and to learn and to daven, you know, all good things. So Michael Achayel means from one madrega to another madrega. However, the difference is that the struggle will not be between Toiv and Ra. It'll be from Dargas of Toiv, Madragas of Toiv. And that's a different parasha, which we don't know what that means, but it's a different parasha.
The Mahog is Rahman and Ramban about whether, you know, the ultimate is physical or spiritual.
Sure, it's connected. So the Mekubalim will say it's physical.
That works with this idea.
100%.
If you say it's spiritual, then they're still longing to come back?
So then it's not the Tachlis HaToiv. The Tachlis HaToiv is that the Neshama should come back to the Guf. Which the Rambam can't accept. Rambam says the Tachlis HaToiv, the ultimate good, is that it's a world of just spirituality. The Shitasa. But the Mekubalim said, no. The ultimate good is being involved in the process of becoming, of refinement, of the Neshama refining the Guf. That's the ultimate good. Not the product, the process. That's the ultimate good. And therefore, since there's always a process, the answer is no, there is not. Chazal say beferish, there's no menucha not. There's no menucha not in this world, not the next world. But as far as the things that we're worried about, in our definition of menucha, that's for sure there'll be menucha.
From the manager, it seems not like that, because they look back while they're still in, just at the end of Melech. But it seems like once they go into Eretz Yisrael, once we mention go into Eretz Yisrael, then we don't look back anymore and say, well, about those good old days. It's while we're still there, just with the last second, that we look back.
That last second of looking back means it's something that we carry with us further. It doesn't mean that we're going to be depressed and bitter, God forbid, during Mashiach's sight, thinking about
I'm
these
saying,
things.
And Mashiach, it seems like then Imamah should be like everything in perfection. Once we're in Israel, that we won't look back at the days we had to choose between.
Yeah, because then we'll have such an unbelievable hasaga of the Toiv, and we'll enter the new phase of different madregas of Toiv. So it's like a person who spent his whole life in a neighborhood that was a poor neighborhood, it was a difficult neighborhood. So now it's time for him to go off to college. He's going off into the big world. So he also gives one look back, and with a certain nostalgia, and certain for his youth and for what it was. So his hasagas at that time were limited to that little town. And therefore the thought of parting with it causes that nostalgic feeling. So too, each and every one of us we certainly have a greater place to go to and a higher madriga to reach. And when we get there, we'll understand that the tachlis was not the town. Although there always is the awareness that was something important in my past, which we don't appreciate now. We don't appreciate the milchamas. And I spoke about this in shul last year once, that we look at all the milchamas as being a bedavid. All of our struggles of being Jews, we look at it as being a bedavid. Oh, it's a bedavid. If I could only be a tzaddik, I wouldn't have these milchamas. And that itself causes so much pain and aggravation to people, because once you come to grips with the reality that your tachlis is being a lochem, or being a warrior, that's your tachlis. In this world is a milchama. That's the tachlis. The milchama is the tachlis. And people don't want to hear that. Because they would like to have inner tranquility as well. They would like to have an inner peace as well. And it's not coming. So let's finish. He says, yeah. Therefore, mitzvahs are not given for your pleasure. Same thing. If you said, I'm not going to derive any benefit from this spring, you can go to the mikveh there, because it's the mitzvah, it's not for your pleasure. The Gemara discusses this in many places. The reason by all of these, the mitzvahs are not given for your pleasure. They were given to you as a burden. But it doesn't mean something you can't love, but it means as something which was a gzeira, decree. Al timer ki perish lav lahenis b'olam hazeh. Now you might want to say that lav lahenis means in this world. You didn't get mitzvahs to benefit from and to enjoy in this world, but maybe rak l'tayv la'anu la'olam haba. Maybe it means that in olam haba we did get the mitzvahs to observe in this world, so that we should enjoy the tachlis is that we should enjoy the world to come. That's not true. When it says mitzvahs lav lahenis nidnu, that the mitzvah is not given to you to benefit from, to have any pleasure, it means at all. That's not the point. You will benefit. But that's not why Hashem gave them to us, to have pleasure and to benefit, not in this world and not in the world to come. The Ramban says that the mitzvah is to make me into a better person. So the mitzvah is to make me into Rachman. That means that the greatest enjoyment that a Jew could have from doing a mitzvah is that it makes you into a compassionate person. So the mitzvah was given to me So how do you say mitzvah lav lahenis nidnu? What does it mean mitzvah lav lahenis nidnu? That's my hanah. V'im hadavru k'may shepirish v'mat shetchiz ha-mitzvah l'tayv l'anu imkein l'hoya din z'kach sh'yemutu l'skayla t'kiyish ha-mitzvah v'hoya mayda hanah b'manu. How could you have, because you're having hanah. He says, "Amitzvah in a kamelach hagoyzel amay k'mayish abiyanu l'kach omer shemuter b'kol elu." Therefore, all of these things are mutter to be tovel into that mikveh and to go to hear the shofar because of mitzvah lahanis nidnu. All right, we're going to stop here. And Mitzvah, next time we should the rest of the parak moves fairly. We're going to finish the parak and do a little bit of something I want to talk about from Tanya. And a little bit of morale from Gurus Hashem. And Zos.